Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today at the show, we will preview Timberwolves Nuggets tonight. The Wolves, of course, have beat the Nuggets 2 out of 3 times this year. Timberwolves could win the tiebreaker and pull back within 2 games of Denver in the Western Conference playoff race. Also, The Ringer had a feature article on Karl Anthony Towns. A couple of key things I want to pull out of there. One that's not even related to Towns at all that I think is super interesting that I want to talk about. And also how Karl Anthony Towns' increase in drives have affected his three-point attempt rate this season. I want to break that all down here today on the show, as well as handicap the current race for the 5 and 6 seeds in the Western Conference. It's all upcoming on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. I'm also the editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the FanSided Network. Happy Friday, everybody, and happy big Timberwolves game day. The biggest Timberwolves game we've had in a little while happens tonight. We'll talk about that later. First of all, though, thank you for making Locked on Wolves your first listen every day. Locked on Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can find this show. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves and at B-Beacon. That's with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Okay, today on the show, we will get to Wolves Nuggets here at the end. I want to preview that and talk about why the Wolves have had success against Denver this year. Their first game against them was, of course, a close loss. And the rest of the other 2 games were fairly emphatic Timberwolves wins. So I want to look at all that here on the show today. First, though, I want to get to a couple things. I want to talk about the playoff race first and basically where things sit right now. What are we rooting for here moving forward in the next few days? What are the Timberwolves hoping that happens? And just kind of, you know, break that down. And then I want to look at a Karl Anthony Towns-centric article by Dan Devine of The Ringer, who's a fantastic NBA writer. And I want to talk about the article as a whole, but a couple of takeaways. One that isn't even directly related to Towns, just the Timberwolves as a whole, I think is a really interesting way to look at the Wolves defense this year and where it sits currently. So we'll do all that on the show here today. I want to start with the playoff conversation, though, and just kind of take a half step backwards, see where we're at. You know, just how important is this Friday night game? Number one, the Clippers lost the Bulls in overtime on Thursday. That means that the Timberwolves have clinched at least the 7th seed in the Western Conference, so they can't fall below 8, or excuse me, below 7. They won't fall to 8. They're now 6 games up on the Clippers with less than that to play for both teams, obviously. So the Timberwolves will at least get the 7th seed. They're guaranteed that home playing game at the very least. That's important. So that's number one. The next thing is what's ahead, right? The Timberwolves play the Nuggets on Friday. The Nuggets are now actually tied with Denver. The Nuggets are tied with Utah. The Nuggets are Denver. The Nuggets are now tied with Utah for the 5 seed. Utah snapped that 4-game losing streak with a win on Thursday. They beat the Lakers, who now, by the way, have fallen. They're now tied with the Spurs for 10th in the West. So the Lakers are truly in danger of falling out of the West, out of the play-in in the Western Conference. But Utah and Denver are tied for 5 and 6. The Wolves are 3 games behind both of those teams. So here's what the Wolves need to have happen. Obviously, the Wolves need to beat Denver tonight. They need to beat the Nuggets on Friday night. If they do, they're now 2 games back, plus have the tiebreaker over the Nuggets because they would have won the season series 3-1 if the Timberwolves beat the Nuggets. If that happens, the Wolves need to win the rest of their games, which isn't crazy. I mean, the rest of the schedule is certainly doable, right? They've got, at Houston on Sunday. After at Houston, they've got 3 home games to finish the season. Those come against Washington, very beatable. San Antonio, obviously playing for their lives, but beatable. And then the Chicago Bulls, which would likely be the most difficult of those games. The Bulls have struggled a little bit of late, but they're still 5th in the Eastern Conference and, of course, spent a lot of the year in the first couple spots in the East. So, it's never easy to win. I guess this would be 5 games in a row, right? So it's never easy to win 5 games in a row, period. Remember, the Wolves hadn't done that since 2004 until earlier this year when they won 6 in a row. So it's not easy. And I guess they won 5 in a row 1 other time this year. So they've done it twice this season. But at Houston, home for Washington and San Antonio are very winnable games. At Denver's difficult, and Chicago at home's difficult. So if the Wolves beat Denver and win out, they just need Denver to lose 2 more times, which also isn't crazy because they have to play the Grizzlies. Not easy. They have to face the Spurs, just like the Wolves do. The Spurs, of course, are desperate. They're currently tied for the 10th spot in the West, have a real shot at making the play-in, which is maybe beyond what their expectations would have been. And then they play the Lakers twice, who are tied with the Spurs for the 10th spot in the West. So three of their remaining four games, three of the Nuggets' remaining four games, play against teams that are tied for the 10th spot in the West and absolutely have to win. And their other ones against the Memphis Grizzlies, who are, of course, fantastic and are currently second in the Western Conference and have been for basically the whole season. So, I should say the last like 3 months, at least since Golden State started struggling a little bit. So it's not crazy. The Wolves need to win their last five games. The Nuggets just need to lose two games. I think both those things can happen. I think the most likely scenario, obviously at this point, mathematically, would be that the Timberwolves do finish in the seventh spot. Again, they can't finish any lower. So in a sense, the Timberwolves are pretty locked in. I mean, if they lose to Denver on Friday, then the rest of the games this season really don't matter because they would basically need Denver to lose out. The Wolves would need to win out in order to get that spot. So they won't officially be mathematically eliminated from the six or the five spots if they lose to the Nuggets Friday, but it'll be basically impossible at that point. This is basically it, right? This is the game for the sixth seed. Now, I'm not talking about Utah because Utah's got a much easier schedule. They've obviously been in rough shape lately, but they're a good team. I don't think they're going to lose out or anything like that. So I think Utah likely ends up in the five seed, or I guess Denver still could too. In that scenario, the Wolves would be in seven. But we can still hope for the Wolves to beat Denver and get to the sixth spot. It's certainly feasible. Notably, though, Jaden McDaniels and Malik Beasley obviously still out on Friday night. We'll talk, of course, the full game preview later. The Wolves did say that Jaden McDaniels would be reevaluated next week. We had heard he'd be reevaluated in 2 weeks. That was about 2.5 weeks ago. He's been cleared for some basketball activity. If you saw, if you were watching the Toronto game, they showed some B-roll of Jaden McDaniels shooting jumpers and actually shooting a little bit off the dribble and stuff pregame before the Raptors game on Wednesday. So he was on the trip with the team. He's been cleared for some basketball activity. Those are all good signs. At this point, you know, I think this is just me talking. I think the hope would be that he gets back in time to play a game or two before the play-in and knock some rust off against, you know, the Wizards and the Spurs and the Bulls or something like that. I think that that would be a reasonable thing to hope for. So that certainly impacts this as well, the injury situation. Okay, next I want to look at this article from Dan Devine at The Ringer. A really good article. A feature on Karl Anthony Towns, but a couple of notable things I want to pull out of that. So I want to talk about that next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. After months of play, college basketball has determined the top teams for their Final Four and will determine this year's national champion this weekend, or I guess the national champion will be Monday, but this weekend through Monday. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, you name it. Of course, I checked the Timberwolves odds there before every game, and I projected on Thursday on the show, the line wasn't up yet. I was guessing that the line would be anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 Denver -3.5 for Friday. And sure enough, the line as of this recording on betonline.net is Denver -3.5 over the Timberwolves, which is just it was at the high end of that range for me. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets down to three by the time that tip off happens on Friday. I mean, this is such an important game for the Wolves. I have a feeling that this is going to be an extremely competitive game. We'll talk more about that later, but check out the lines over at betonline.net. Of course, BetOnline remains the best spot for all your latest sports developments, including podcasts and reviews for all the leagues this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information needs, including live betting in your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, be sure to check out the Locked On Now podcast. Nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. It's the best way to find out what happened the prior night, especially if the Wolves are playing. You're kind of unplugged from the rest of the league besides Twitter. It's better than Twitter and box scores. You're going to get a little more in-depth, be able to talk a little more intelligently about the previous night's game. So check out the Locked On Now podcast. Okay, let's talk about this Ringer article. So theringer.com occasionally has some really great features. Dan Devine's one of the better basketball writers in general, not just over there. he had a really long feature piece on Karl-Anthony Towns, entitled "Karl-Anthony Towns' Situation Finally Catches Up to His Talent." He talks about how basically he's been a cornerstone for a while. The Wolves just haven't had other stones around him. I'm cleaning that up a little bit from his language in this article, but it's the best way. It's the best way to put it, right? I mean, Towns has been a transcendent player for a long time. He even touches on the Towns-Dirk shooting debate. There's a lot of good stuff in here. There's two things I want to pull out of this to talk about on the show today. One, directly related to Towns, is something I've talked about on the show quite a bit, actually. And really, I think it was just last week, I spent basically a full segment on this, that Towns is not shooting as many threes as he was. And I highlighted this on Thursday's show, which followed the Raptors' loss on Wednesday, because he was 0 for 1 from outside the arc on Wednesday, which is completely unacceptable. And Chris Finch noted after the game, Towns needed more touches. He only had 13 overall field goal attempts in that game. But as I put it on Thursday, I mean, this is the three-point champion from just 2 months ago or whatever. 6 weeks ago, he won the three-point championship at All-Star break. He attempted one three-pointer in a game, and he was in a little foul trouble, but he played 32 minutes or whatever. He's got to shoot more threes. And we're in this weird place now where earlier in the season, and really for much of his career, Towns would much rather shoot a three-pointer, you know, a couple feet beyond the line, a hand semi in his face, versus put the ball on the floor, put himself in a position where he's going to pick up a charge or commit a turnover on a difficult pass, even earlier this season. But now his drives per game are so much that he's eschewing open three-pointer shots for a drive. And he's still been phenomenal. Again, This is we're in a situation, we're talking about a guy who's likely second team All-NBA or should be second team All-NBA, and I'm now criticizing a little bit part of his game. This is a small critique, and it also has to do with how opponents are guarding the Timberwolves. But his drives per game are way up, and Devine talks about this at theringer.com. He talks about how his drives per game are at 7.8 per game. His drive points per game are 6.5 per game. He's also attempting 2 free throws per game on drives. Blow by possessions per 100, and he pulled this from Second Spectrum, 4.06. So per 100 possessions, he blows by folks on the drive at a 4.06 rate. For his career, it's never been higher than 2.52, which was last year. And Devine has these numbers. Every single one of these has increased each of the last 5 seasons. So as Timberwolves coaches, first Tibbs, then Ryan Saunders, and now Chris Finch, have been putting the ball in his hands more and more in the perimeter. And Saunders talked about doing this. Saunders talked about having the offense flow through Karl-Anthony Towns on the perimeter more often. And it happened a little bit more than it did under Tibbs, but it didn't happen enough. And Chris Finch almost immediately was like, hey, he's our best player. Let's just put the ball in his hands. He can shoot the three. He can pass. He can dribble. If teams are going to guard him with a center, he can definitely blow by centers. And now this is still kind of the best result, or the best, response to teams guarding him with fours. I mean, Towns is still quicker than most fours in this league laterally and can get around fours. It's much harder to double team Karl-Anthony Towns in a face-up situation than it is, for instance, in the post. Because the conventional wisdom would tell you, oh, you're guarding Towns with a smaller four, let's just throw the ball to him in the post. Well, no, because teams are not just double-teaming him. They triple-team him in the post more often than not. So then the Wolves started putting him at the elbow more often, which is really hard to double at the elbow. And that was effective, but I think Towns is that much more effective, as Finch realized, on the perimeter in a face-up situation where he's got all of his options available versus at the elbow, where he has a little bit less of the court to work with. And it's a little bit tighter spaces for him to put the ball on the floor and dribble. And instead, it's kind of mid-range jumper or facilitator or a giant step-back three, which is a good shot for him. But the options are more limited at the elbow or at the nail and the, you know, at the free throw line than they are outside the perimeter, outside the arc. So the face-up situations, as we know, has absolutely... Basically, it doesn't limit the possibilities for Towns. And he's been fantastic in face-up situations, being able to put the ball on the floor more often. Devine notes, though, that because of this, he's shooting slightly less threes. And Devine is mostly focusing on the point that he's so good off the dribble and that the Timberwolves are fantastic with him when he's got the ball in his hands outside the arc. And that's 100% true. But the commentary that I would add is that, again, talked about this, I think it was last week on the show, Towns is number 14 in the Timberwolves in three-point rate. Now that we're talking about a team that shoots the three per game more than any team in the league, and I think still third in three-point rate as a team, but you still can't have Karl-Anthony Towns 14th on your team in three-point rate. I understand that because his usage rate is the highest on the team, finally, thank goodness, that, you know, that's skewed a little bit because 30% of Towns' shots is still more threes per game than most of the guys above him. But he still should be shooting more than 30% of his shot attempts from outside the arc. This is a 40% three-point shooter, a generational shooter, the three-point shooting champion after the contest in February. He's got to shoot more than 30% of his shots from three. And also, when teams are playing off of him, expecting the drive, if you go back and watch the last several games, Towns has had open threes that in past years he would have taken immediately. And now he's so addicted to driving and drawing fouls, which we've been just screaming for him to do now for years, that he occasionally forgets just how good of a three-point shooter he is. So I think that balance, we've got to find that balance. And Towns has, what, five regular season games to truly to have the chance to do that. But if he could just up his three-point rate just a little, force seems to come out on him, then it gives him that much better of an opportunity to blow by guys to get the touch fouls on the perimeter that unfortunately he still isn't getting like guards would, because guys will have to press up on him. He'll draw those fouls. He can get more rip-through fouls, which he started to do a little bit more lately. The overall thing will just be better. He'll get more three-point attempts. He'll score more. He'll draw more fouls. He'll blow by more guys. He'll draw more. He won't draw as many early doubles, because now teams are just, they don't care anymore. They're double teaming him on the perimeter. They're literally like playing box and one defenses. They're bringing doubles everywhere on the floor at Karl Anthony Towns. Part of that also is D'Angelo Russell struggled a lot lately shooting, so teams are kind of daring him to shoot at this point. Anthony Edwards has picked it up a little bit, which has helped from outside the arc at least. But no Malik Beasley hurts a ton. Jordan McLaughlin is just less scary standing outside the arc than most of those other guys, right? I mean, even a lack of Jaden McDaniels hurts in that regard, because at least there's some fear in an opponent that Jaden McDaniels could put the ball on the floor and use his length to score at the rim to draw fouls, that he could, you know, he's an improved three-point shooter. So the lack of McDaniels, the lack of Beasley, that's hurt recently as well. But teams just aren't afraid to double-team Karl Anthony Towns, and they're doing it in almost every situation. So that to me was the number one most interesting thing to pull out of this, is the we know that his drives have increased, but to see those numbers is really impressive. The other thing is not directly related to Towns, but more specifically about the Timberwolves defense. And I've, again, this isn't, if you've watched the Timberwolves, this isn't surprising. These numbers all make sense. But to see it laid out this way is really interesting. So I'm actually just going to read what Divine has here. So this is a directly from the article. Divine talks about how the Timberwolves are playing a more aggressive high wall scheme and pick and roll defense instead of simply the drop coverage that they played basically the entire time under Saunders. And of course they mixed some of that in lately, but the high wall scheme is what he's talking about. And Divine says, direct quote here, "The shift comes with risks, especially against opponents ready to beat the blitz with early ball movement. Only four teams allow opponents to shoot more three-pointers per game." So Wolves are fifth in opponent three-point rate. Fifth from the bottom, three-point rate, with only Toronto conceding corner threes more often. Only three teams grab a lower share of defensive rebounds, thanks partly to the Timberwolves centers starting so many possessions so high up on the floor, and nobody fouls more than the Timberwolves, right? We know all of this. I've talked about this all the time, and we'll get to the Nuggets here in a little bit. One of the reasons why the Nuggets are an okay matchup, because the Nuggets aren't an outstanding rebounding team. They're good, and they're also not a super prolific three-point shooting team. They're pretty middle of the pack in terms of attempts and accuracy. And also foul-wise, that's the one thing that scares me a little bit about the Nuggets matchup, is how often the Wolves foul, and the Nuggets are great at drawing fouls. And then it says, Divine says, "Thus far, the Timberwolves have been outstripped, the bad parts of the defense, basically, have been outstripped by the rewards. The Wolves are number four in steals, number three in blocks, number two in opponent turnover rate, and number one in points scored off turnovers. Most importantly, they're number 10 in points allowed per possession." So we've talked about all season, the high steal rate, the high block rate, the high turnover rate for the defense. Something I haven't talked about much is they are number one in points scored off turnovers, but that's kind of a given. I talked about this quite a bit here on the show, is that so much of what the Wolves do is predicated on turnover differential. It's why Toronto is just a miserable matchup for Minnesota, because they're better than the Wolves are at it. The Timberwolves offensively don't turn the ball over a ton, but they've had those games, right? Like against Toronto on Wednesday. Defensively, if the Wolves could force a bunch of turnovers, that's a bunch of easy baskets in transition, fast break points, secondary breaks. It fuels the Timberwolves offense. And if they're not getting turnovers defensively, they allow a lot of three-pointers, right? They allow opponents to score. They allow opponents to get to the free throw line. generating turnovers is key to the Timberwolves defense. And it worked so well early in the season when I think, frankly, they surprised teams with how active and aggressive they were and they changed their coverages. But then as the season wore on and teams found different ways to beat them, they just haven't been good at other coverages. Like I've said before, they're not as good at drop. They're not as good at switching concepts. They just aren't consistent enough. And with no Jaden McDaniels, that really hinders what they're able to do switching pick and roll as well without that length on the floor, because you're really left with Jared Vanderbilt and Patrick Beverley as the guys who are effective with their length and aggressiveness defensively and can guard multiple positions. No Jaden McDaniels genuinely hurts in that regard. So I think seeing it all laid out this way is super helpful, that they're bad at these things, right? Allowing three-pointers for opponents. They're bad at allowing offensive rebounds. They're bad at fouling. But they're good at all these other things. And so it averages out to a above-average defense. And that's you know, over the course of a playoff series, provided the Wolves get through the play-in, it's going to hurt, right? A team's going to be able to figure out exactly what the Wolves are doing game to game. And, you know, the Wolves are going to win a game or two simply because of generating turnovers. That's been their MO all season. But a good, disciplined team in the playoffs may not have a problem facing this Timberwolves defense over the course of a seven-game series. And we'll talk more about that once we know what the matchup is. And, of course, I'm not counting the chickens before they hatch here, but once the Timberwolves get through a play-in, hopefully. But that's why I said this on the show the other day. A single play-in game, the Timberwolves should have the ability to just go nuts and you know, blitz their opponents and generate a bunch of turnovers for a must-win game. You get to a longer playoff series, and that's maybe a little bit of a different story. Okay, let's close by talking about that Wolves-Nuggets matchup and what that's going to look like here on Friday night at the all-important game. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. This is the time of year that I pretty much give it up on all my New Year's resolutions. I mean, we're a third of the way through the season, or excuse me, a quarter of the way through the season already. Not season, the quarter of the way through the year already. But not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right, thanks to Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really a resolution, though, because I actually enjoy eating them. If you haven't tried Built Puffs, you need to. Built Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy and marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They're actually a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate, a bunch of delicious flavors. That includes yummy cinnamony churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. The new brownie batter flavor in Puffs is fantastic. And all Built Bars, including Puffs, I should say, are covered in 100% real chocolate. They're all low-calorie, high-protein. You can go to Built.com and scroll down to the macros chart. You'll be absolutely blown away. Most Built Bars have just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 net carbs. But they also have 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which typically has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. There's tons of delicious flavors. New flavors are coming out all the time. And if Built thinks a flavor might be good, they'll make it. It will be delicious and it will be good for you. At Built Bar, they're all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first and then figure out how to make it healthy. And I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off every single time. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Wolves Nuggets. So the Timberwolves haven't played the Nuggets here in a few weeks. So far this season, of course, the teams have played 3 times. I want to quickly talk about those, and then I'll talk about the matchup specifically. Well, actually, before we do that, let's talk about the injury report. So obviously, still no Michael Porter Jr., still no Jamal Murray for the Nuggets. I think a lot of people assumed that at least one of those guys would be back sometime in March. That hasn't happened. Jamichael Green's actually questionable for this game, too, with a foot injury. Minneapolis native Zeke Nnaji's been out for a while. He had a good game against them earlier this year. He's been out since early March. So the Nuggets are a little bit banged up. Obviously, no McDaniels, no Malik Beasley for the Timberwolves either. So that matters. But the first time these teams played this season was back in late October. The Wolves came into the game at 3-1 off that win over the Bucks, and, you know, exciting win over the Bucks to start the season. And then they kind of fell flat, scored just 91 points against Denver. Jokic had 26-19 in that game. And Towns had just 14-8 in that first matchup. Teams are obviously way different since then. I don't want to dwell on that. That was just a bad offensive game. And the Timberwolves, remember, weren't very good offensively, basically through, you know, into the first of this calendar year. I mean, the first couple months of the season, they were pretty bad defensively. So I don't want to throw that game out completely, but I don't think that's quite the same matchup that we're going to see here. The next time that they faced off was mid-December, and this game was back in Denver. And you'll remember this is the Anthony Edwards 10 three-pointers made game. He had 38 points, shot 14 threes and made 10 of them. Towns also gets overshadowed, and rightfully so, because Edwards was nuts in this game. Towns had 32 on just 18 shots in this game, too. He had three steals in it as well. And the Timberwolves made life difficult for the Nuggets. Jokic had a triple-double, but nobody else in the Nuggets scored more than 15 points. Jokic had, 27, 11, and 10 in that game, and was decent, but Towns and Edwards were just better. And then the last time these teams faced off was February 1st. It doesn't feel like it was quite that long ago, but it was. So 2 months ago. And the Wolves beat the Nuggets by 15. And that was actually one of the Timberwolves' more impressive games this season. And that was to get them above 500 at 26 and 25. Remember, one of the themes of this year is the Wolves have played good teams without their best players often. That's happened. It just has. But Jokic has played in all the games that the Wolves have played the Nuggets, and Jokic has played well in all those games, and the Wolves have still won 2 out of 3. And this was a 15-point win. The Wolves are actually up 22 in this game going into the fourth quarter. Jokic had 21, 16, and 8. He also turned it over 5 times, though, in this game. He did get to the line 9 times. Towns had 24, 10, and 7 and was really, really good. Edwards only had 5 points in this game. This was right around when the knee issue was really bothering him, when it cropped up in a big way. Jared Vanderbilt, importantly, had a big game back on February 1st. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. He only played 19 minutes in this game, but he put up 18 and 9. Torian Prince had a monster game, 23 and 9 off the bench, 6 of 9 made three-pointers. In one of his, during that stretch when it was really kind of his Timberwolves coming out party. Naz Reid was good off the bench for the Wolves too, 12 and 5. Beasley hit 4 threes against his former team. I know he obviously loves playing against the Nuggets, so it's too bad he can't play here in this one. But, the Nuggets as a whole, this has been kind of their thing all season, right? They're obviously a good team. They're ahead of the Wolves in the standings by 3 games. But with no Michael Porter Jr., with no Jamal Murray, there just aren't that many other dynamic offensive pieces, right? Will Barton's fantastic. He's a ton of fun to watch. I love him. Monty Morris is a good player. Jeff Green's been a big part of their team this year. Jermichael Green off the bench for most of the season has been really big. But they just don't have much other... Aaron Gordon, not the Aaron Gordon that people thought he might have been a few years ago, but a very good supporting role player, a perfect fit for the Nuggets and what they need with Jokic. But there isn't much other dynamic scoring for the Nuggets. And that has been kind of their downfall this season. Their profile as a team actually matches up pretty good for the Timberwolves. If you're a Timberwolves fan, the Nuggets profile fits okay. The Nuggets, offensively, they turn the ball over a bunch. They're 26th in turnover rate on offense. They turn it over on over 13% of their possessions. They're also 20th in offensive rebounding. So they don't get a ton of offensive rebounds. They turn the ball over quite a bit. And they're 18th in free throw rate. 21st in free throw rate, which means they're bottom 10 in getting to the free throw line offensively. They're bottom 10 in getting offensive rebounds. And they're bottom 10 in turnovers. Those are all things that the Timberwolves rely on. The Timberwolves rely on generating turnovers. They should be able to get a bunch in this game. They're bad at committing fouls. So if they can, the Nuggets can help them out and not drawing that many fouls, that's great. They aren't reliant on offensive rebounding. The Timberwolves are a bottom three team when it comes to defensive rebounding. So the profiles of these teams actually match up okay for the Timberwolves. And again, nobody on this team averages more than 14 and a half points besides Nikola Jokic. I mean, Will Barton's 14.7 points, Gordon's 14.6. Neither of them have done much against the Wolves this year. And none of the Nuggets' best players are above average 3-point shooters. I mean, Barton's only 36% this year. He's had better seasons in the past. But there isn't much to strike fear in your heart in terms of 3-point shooters on this team. They're middle of the pack in attempts per game and 3-point rate. They're also middle of the pack in percentage. So you got to be careful with it, but it's not like the focal point of their offense necessarily. And again, the profiles of these two teams lines up nicely for Minnesota. I wouldn't surprise me to see the Wolves again, BetOnline.net has the Timberwolves as 3.5-point underdogs on Friday. That feels like about right. Maybe a little high. I'd probably have it at 3. But this is a game that it wouldn't surprise me if the Timberwolves came out with a win. I know they've lost 4 of 5. I know the Nuggets have won 4 of 5. But this game probably matters more to Towns and the Wolves than it does to Jokic and the Nuggets. That's just my guess. So don't be shocked if the Wolves come out of this one with a win. of course, we'll be back on Monday with the show, Monday through Friday, daily shows. We'll also be starting some live post-game, post-cast, 10-minute mini-shows following games, starting likely sometime next week. So stay tuned for that as we gear up for the playoffs. And we'll have a guest on live for that show here moving forward. So stay tuned for that. Looking forward to be able to bring that, you know, the close of the regular season into the playoffs. Otherwise, thank you for listening to Locked On Wolves Daily. Thank you for making us your first listen every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube. You can also follow the show anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, really any platform. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Also, while you're making Locked On Wolves your first listen, don't forget to make your second listen, Locked On NBA. The Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NBA every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.